Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Welcome to Prairie Street Mennonite Church. Welcome to all who attend regularly, and to those who are visiting, welcome to you as well. And to those listening by electronic means, welcome to you. Let's join in singing a song of praise. In your hymnals, turn to number 651, 651. I owe the Lord a morning song. Hear these words of Jesus. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Will you pray with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you invite us to come to you with all our burdens, with all our sins. Thank you that you are strong enough and gentle and humble enough to carry these for us. What a marvelous thing to find rest for our souls. Thank you. Thank you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. So with grateful hearts, we offer praise and honor to our Lord as we sing together from the hymnal. There's an insert in the back pocket of your hymnal. Something which is known should be in the back pocket.
Are people able to find it? It's a half sheet. There's music on the front and back. The chorus is on the back. And in the purple, sing the story, number 65. 65 in the purple book. We will sing verses 1, 2, and 3 in Spanish. On the following page, verse 4, we'll sing in English, and then 5 in Spanish again. 1, 2, 3 in Spanish, 4 in English, 5 in Spanish.
Please turn in the hymnal to number 698. 698. We will read this confession together after a time of silent prayer. Let's pray silently, and then we will read this. And so we read together. Forgive me my sins, O Lord. Forgive me the sins of my youth and the sins of my age, the sins of my soul and the sins of my body, my secret and my whispering sins, the sins I have done to please myself and the sins I have done to please others. Forgive those sins which I know and the sins which I do not know. Forgive them, Lord. Forgive them all in your great goodness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God, who is almighty and merciful, forgive our sins, heal our diseases, and bring us to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So I invite you to stand. Let us share Christ's peace with the world. And as is the custom and practice in our church, we turn to our neighbors saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," and responding, "And also with you."
Our brother Ben Bauman is a student at Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary, and this summer he has shared his pastoral gifts with us as a pastoral intern, as part of his seminary studies. And Ben, it's been great working with you this summer. We see in you both the gifts and the heart of a pastor. Your preaching, your sensitivity to other people, your administrative skills, it's really been fun. And we are kind of glad that you're staying around, that you're not just leaving as soon as we're very glad. And so as you finish your internship, your 12 weeks of internship, how many of something about that? He said, it's, what did you call that, your slowdown here?
Rolling stop.
Yeah. It's a rolling stop in his pastoral work because he's continuing to do some things this next week. And I hope some things into the fall, like we need from everybody. But I'm going to read some verses from Colossians that Paul directs to the church at Colossae. And I invite all of you to raise your hand where you are and just in blessing to him. Ben, since the day we began to work with you, we have not ceased to give thanks for you and to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from God's glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to God, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Dear brother, God bless you as you continue to find your way into such effective ministry. And all God's people say,
our scripture reading this morning is from Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it.
Exodus 20:8-11. Acuérdate del sábado para santificarlo. 6 días trabajarás y harás toda tu obra, pero el séptimo día es de reposo para Jehová, tu Dios. No hagas en él obra alguna, ni tú, ni tu hijo, ni tu hija, ni tu siervo, ni tu criada, ni tu bestia, ni el extranjero que está dentro de tus puertas. Porque el 6 días hizo Jehová los cielos y la tierra, el mar y todas las cosas que hay. Y el reposo en el séptimo día, por lo tanto, Jehová bendijo el sábado y lo santificó.
And from Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and he gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath."
Marcos 2:23-28. Aconteció que al pasar él por los sembradíos un sábado, sus discípulos, mientras andaban, comenzaron a arrancar espigas. Entonces los fariseos le dijeron, "Mira, ¿por qué hacen el sábado lo que no está lícito?" Pero él les dijo, "¿Nunca leísteis lo que hizo David cuando tuvo necesidad y sintió hambre, él y los que con él estaban? Como entró en la casa de Dios, siendo habitar sumo sacerdote, y comió los panes de la proporción, de los cuales no es lícito comer sino a los sacerdotes, y aún dio a los que con él estaban. También les dijo, el sábado fue hecho para causa del hombre, y no el hombre para causa del sábado. Por lo tanto, el Hijo del Hombre es el Señor aún del sábado." Palabra de Dios.
Gracias a Dios. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We will hear now from Pastor Nelson our sermon. Let's pray for Nelson. Lord, open our ears and our hearts to receive a message from you. Bless Pastor Nelson as he brings the word to us. In your name we pray. Amen.
When I was a lad on a farm in Pennsylvania, my brothers and I had a fishworm business. 35 cents a dozen, 3 dozen for a dollar. When it rained, my brothers and I went out in the dark at night in the lawn, and we carried flashlights with red filters on them. Earthworms aren't bothered by red light. And we collected dozens of worms, and we put them in an old refrigerator we bought somewhere for $5. And we put a sign out along the road so that fishermen going from Elizabethtown to the Susquehanna River on weekends would stop at the Craybill Farm and buy their big, juicy earthworms, except on Sunday. Problem was, they did stop on Sunday. And being Sabbath observers, our household simply did no commerce on the Lord's Day. No amount of persuasion could convince Dad that selling earthworms on Sunday was a good idea. Since our customers all knew where that refrigerator was in an unlocked shed, some proposed that we just set up an honor system. We put out a box, they come in, get their worms, put the money in the box, and go on their way. No deal. That was still a violation of Shabbat, Sabbath. We told our customers they needed to buy their worms on Saturday. What seemed legalistic to me as a child makes more sense to me today. I need Sabbath. I need a rhythm of rest. I need boundaries to help me guard that. For many people in the Western world, and especially in the United States, the world never rests. While some people in our society struggle with unemployment, many others are overworked, working 6 or 7 days a week, even 2 jobs. Husband and wife both manage careers or full-time jobs while raising a family. Children are involved in many extracurriculars. And all of this is compounded by the endless intrusion of cell phone, Facebook, Twitter, news bulletins, television, radio. I pulled out my phone just a minute ago and I was looking at email messages. I know the techie people are going to laugh at me. I don't know how to get those old messages off my phone. There are 38,000 email messages on my phone. 38,000. Now, not all of those I need to respond to. Some of them are New York Times articles or whatever. But that's how many things are coming at me in my pocket. Pervading all this constant activity and communication is a torrent of advertising. I opened the Elkhart Truth this morning, the Sunday edition, and outpours 2 pounds of advertising, glossy coupons and things that I should buy. And then Amazon suggests books and things that I probably need. I watch Olympic television and I get sold a car or a Coke before every race. We are exposed to a thousand commercial messages every day, making us think that in this land of plenty, we don't have enough. You know, we ought to have this too. What if we resisted or began to push back against this tidal wave of work and commerce and communication? Walter Brueggemann's written a helpful little book called Sabbath as Resistance. Brueggemann, Old Testament scholar, Christian, says that when God freed the Hebrew slaves from Egypt, God liberated them spiritually and physically from a deadening cycle of endless work, endless activity, endless productivity. The productivity, of course, wasn't for the slaves. It was for the people at the top of the pyramid. And much of that happens in our world today. You think of the sweatshops and factory work and things, parts of our economy that feel essential, but that put people to endless work. God called the Hebrew people, brought them out from that kind of enslavement to endless productivity and work. So in Brueggemann's mind, Sabbath, and I believe in Jewish understanding, Sabbath becomes a marker of resistance, a kind of pushing back against the market forces, the economy forces, the social pressure to conform, to produce. And not only is it a withdrawal, but Sabbath provides an alternative. And it's an alternative of rest and refreshment and worship and fellowship and love. And a withdrawal from the violence of our world. On Friday evenings and Saturdays in a Jewish home and society, people greet each other by saying, Shabbat Shalom. Can you say that? Shabbat Shalom. Okay, next time on a Friday evening or all day Saturday until sunset, say that to your Jewish friends. It's the greeting Sabbath peace, the peace of Sabbath, the peace of Shabbat, of rest, be with you. The seventh day is a day of peace for the family, for the economy, and for the soul. Brueggemann notes that in the Ten Commandments, and we read one of the commandments from Exodus 20 this morning, in the Ten Commandments, the instructions about Shabbat, Sabbath, get a lot of airtime. That is, the amount that is there about Sabbath is fairly long. The first three commandments have to do with God. And this is, there is one God. You shall have no graven images, and don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Okay, the first three have to do with God and our relationship with God. And then comes the commandment about Sabbath. And Brueggemann says this is a kind of transition from, we might say, the vertical to thinking more horizontally. Because the rest of the commandments then show how our relationship with God affects and changes relationship with fellow humans. So we honor our parents. We do not kill. We do not commit adultery. We do not steal. We do not lie. We do not covet. And you see, Sabbath in that lineup becomes the kind of point of transition in the commandments between the vertical and the horizontal. And it's a time of spiritual reorientation and reflecting on our lives and preparing then for the week ahead so that we need to go out back into the productivity system on one level or another. We all do. And so how do we do that in ways that honor God? Sabbath is a time of physical and spiritual rest and reorientation. We recalibrate our GPS, get it back onto the satellite. Pharaoh's Egypt was a highly organized pyramid.
You know, we think of Egypt being pyramids. Now, the pyramids, you know, were already ancient when the Israelites were there. They're that old. So the Israelites were not building pyramids. But the society was a pyramid with a few very powerful and rich people at the top. And then they relied on the work without rest that came from thousands, maybe even millions of other people. Anything that threatened the productivity and the wealth of people at the top, that is the productivity of the masses for the wealth of the people at the top, anything that threatened that really infuriated Pharaoh. So when Moses comes and says, I've got to take the people out into the wilderness for a time of worship, to worship their God, Pharaoh is suspicious. Now, maybe you'd say he had good reason to be suspicious. But the answers he gives are ones like this. Why are you taking these people away from their work? This is all in chapter 5 of Exodus. From now on, you will make bricks without straw, and you still will produce the same quota of bricks. Let heavier work be laid on these workers, on the Hebrews. Then they will pay no attention to Moses. You are lazy, lazy, lazy. That is why you want to go out into the desert to worship your God. Get back to work. Ellen and I spoke this week with the manager of a small chain of new restaurants in Michiana. And the manager told us that she has not taken a day off work for 7 years. Wow. Do you know that 55% of Americans do not take all of the vacation that their employers give them? More than half of Americans don't use all of our vacation days. We come in and work for free when we could be on vacation. In 1993, the average American took 20 days of vacation. Last year, the average American takes 16 days of vacation. It's actually down 4 days. And when researchers ask Americans why this is, they give these reasons. These are the most common ones. Fear of returning to a mountain of work. If I'm gone, what do I face when I get back? Second one is a belief that nobody else can really do their job. They are indispensable. Third is fear of being seen as replaceable. Maybe you are dispensable, and if you're gone, people will see that and your job might be in jeopardy. And finally, people want to show great dedication to the company. They want to just show how loyal they are. So they work a little bit extra. Now that, I think, has been affected by the environment of unemployment. People felt insecure maybe in the last years. But nevertheless, Europeans, for example, will notice that Americans work all the time and just don't. In England, everything shuts down in August. You know, the whole country just shuts down. Well, not in this country. And people in the church, myself included, Ellen can tell you, are not immune from such logic. I visited not long ago with an elderly Mennonite churchman who is approaching the end of his life and knows that. And we were talking about his vocation and looking back over the years of his life. And I said, what do you feel as you look back? You know, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? He thought a little bit. He said, I feel that I could have done more. Now, this is a man that was notorious for working long, long, long hours. And he said, I think I could have done more for Christ. And that kind of moved us into a discussion of for some time about grace. And what does it mean to do the best we can and let that be enough? And it was something I needed to hear that day too and ponder. Being unable to sell fish worms on Sunday seemed legalistic 50 years ago. But I look back now and say that was grace. Sunday on our farm was a day of rest. We didn't sleep in. We still had to get up and feed the animals, of course. But work that could be put off, we did put off. If we were cutting hay, for example, we, I think, always made sure that the hay could get in by Saturday night. You know, hay, if it gets rained on after it's cut, loses nutritional value. You lose the value of the hay if it gets really seriously rained on or it's diminished. So this was a financial risk. And I remember being on the tractor when it was dark with lights on and it was 10:30 on Saturday night, and we were going to finish bringing that hay in so that next morning would be Sabbath. And on Sabbath, we went to church, always on Sunday, sometimes Sunday evening. Worship was, and for me still is, a time to be reminded that we are a people set apart. That's what the word holy means. It means set apart for a special purpose. We're holy people. Doesn't mean we have halos and wings. It means we have a particular purpose, just like a building, we might say, in some sense, is holy. It has a special purpose to worship, a place to worship. Our lives are that way. And worship on Sunday is a time when I stop and we stop from the busyness of the world around us and all the pressures there, and we say our lives belong to God. And we back off from productivity and we rest. In Jewish understanding, such rest is so important that as the creation story is told, at the end of 6 days, God himself rested, for heaven's sake. And we think we don't need to. We don't need our vacation. God does this. So he spends 6 days like these kids here during children's time, active. He's creating light. He's crafting the firmament. He's dividing the waters. He's seeding the earth. He's shaping planets and galaxies. He's launching birds and fish. He's making the animals. Finally, he's forming humans from the clay of the earth. And then on the seventh day, God rests. And Exodus 31 says, God rested and was refreshed. The Hebrew word is closely related to the word breathing. It's a form of the word breathing. And I think of it as God catching his breath. Ah. Rest. Pay attention to your lungs for a minute. After each breath, your body rests. Your lungs rest just for a split second. Your lungs rest. After every heartbeat, that pump in your chest rests for a split second. It's just complete pause and the muscle just relaxes. After every growing season, the fields are fallow for the winter snows. The natural world has rhythm of rest. But with modern technology and the pressures of all of our connectivity, we production-minded people find ways to short-circuit that rhythm of rest. Chicken farmers. Okay, I don't think we have any chicken farmers here, so I can pick on chicken farmers. They observed a long time ago that hens lay most of their eggs in summer and fall, spring and summer, rather. Who wants to raise a brood of chicks in the middle of winter with all the snows? So the natural rhythm for a hen is lay eggs in spring and summer, like we see with the birds in the nests in our trees. So then as the days get shorter in the fall, that triggers the biological clock of the chicken to stop producing eggs. Now, what would happen if those poor chickens were put into a massive closed barn with no windows where there were always long days with artificial light? The hens never stop laying. And you and I can buy eggs all winter. We can buy them in January, I assume, from very exhausted hens who are just producing in a way that would not be natural. And something similar happens to humans. Not that we lay eggs, but that we work with night shift in factories. We have cell phones that keep us connected, even on vacation, out on the boat or whatever. You get a business call. We have work that arrives by internet. We have Skype meetings, business meetings. We have relentless urging to buy and consume. Like those poor hens, we never stop producing. So we need reminders. We need routines that trigger our rest, that turn us away from production and consumption, to remind us of the centrality of God in our lives and the importance of relationships with each other and with creation. You know, when the Israelites were wandering in the desert, God provided each day the manna they needed. It was bread from heaven. Well, however we understand what that was, it was given each day. And the Hebrews, you recall, could collect enough for how much? For one day. One day's food. If you tried to get greedy and wanted to accumulate and pile it up so you could be lazy the next day or whatever, the food would rot. The manna would not be any good the next day. Except on Friday, when the instruction was collect double on Friday, and that food will still be good for Sabbath the next day. Sabbath, God intends, as a time of rest and even play. And in my childhood home, we had some farm chores to do, but Sunday was a day for hobbies. And so when church was over and the dishes were washed, then my siblings and I pursued a breadth of hobbies. We built amateur radios, and this was 45 or 50 years ago, communicated with hams around the world. It seemed incredible back then. We flew rockets. We crafted telescopes. We set up a dark room. We built a go-kart, raised homing pigeons, collected stamps, launched a cat off the barn roof on a parachute, played chess, even tried to brew wine until Mother called us. I have been in Jewish hotels that have a Sabbath elevator. What do you imagine a Sabbath elevator is? It's an elevator that when you get in it, it begins to move without you pushing any buttons at all. Doors go shut. And then it stops on every floor so that nobody has to do the work of pushing any buttons. Now that seems legalistic and isn't that crazy? But think about that. Every Jewish person that gets in that elevator, and I've ridden one of these, they think about, I'm set apart. I am dedicated to God. I rest. And it is a reminder. Of course, it's not real work to push that cotton picking button, but it reminds you. That's extreme, but I yearn for something of the serenity of Jewish Shabbat that begins at sundown on Friday till sundown on Saturday. Observant Jews cook all of the food for Saturday the day or days before. They do all the chores they can in advance. They clean the house in advance. And then Sabbath begins with a lighting of candles and prayers. And Sabbath is a time for worship and reading, especially the Bible, and rest and making love and just being with family. That kind of Sabbath celebration requires discipline. In fact, much of spiritual growth requires discipline, where we commit and say, we are going to make this effort. And discipline does not have to be legalism. And Jesus protested against legalism, where it became a burden. No, it's a choice, like learning to play violin, or even keeping a pet, or getting ready to run a marathon. All these things, learning to operate the loom, you know, these things, they require discipline. And then there's the payoff of the joy of something that touches deep in our souls. Jesus protested against making Sabbath a burden. When some people complained to Jesus about healing on the Sabbath, Jesus said, Sabbath was made for humankind. Sabbath is God's gift to us. We were not made for the Sabbath. We are not now slaves of the Sabbath. This time of rest is God's gift to us. Let's receive it gladly from the shepherd who said, come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen.
Please turn with me to number 526 in the blue hymnal. Number 526.
Thank you. A city, amen, sia que tu mi sa. A city, amen, sia que tu mi sa. A city, amen, baba. Amen, baba. Amen, sia que tu mi sa.
Sing amen.
Amen, we praise your name, O Lord.
Sing amen.
Amen, we praise your name, O Lord.
Sing amen.
Shabbat Shalom. May the peace of rest dwell within you today and in the weeks to come. Amen.